everything else versus Bitcoin essentially gets spent and dies.
I want to be able to have reactive security. And I think Opvault is today the most straightforward, easiest to use way to do that.
I will not be insulted by a clockmaker.
Overall, these kind of ways to make the network easier to both build on and interact with, I think is a really big deal.
If Bitcoin existed when we started Twitter, we would not have to go down the ad model path. I mean, as simple as that.
Integrating Lightning into a social network is the killer app.
Hello, and welcome to the Bitcoin.review podcast, where we explore developments and projects with the people who actually make them happen. The show is supported by Pod 2.0, Sat Streaming, and CoinKite. If you're a new listener, I'm NVK. I run CoinKite, where we've been helping people secure their Bitcoins for over a decade. We make the cold card and fun products like the Block Clock. You can find more information about it on CoinKite.com. Hello, and welcome back to the Bitcoin Review. Today, we're going to be doing the list again, and I have a good quote. Security is always excessive until it's not enough. Robbie Sinclair. So for the people out there who think, you know, maybe you're just being over paranoid, well, you're going to love that when you actually try to be robbed and that does not happen. So love that quote. Hi, guys. So I have with me Mr. Rindell. Welcome back, sir.
Hello. Good to be back.
Mr. Kali is now employed. Hello, Kali.
Hello, sirs.
And Ben the Carman.
What up, guys? Good to be back.
Do you guys get the list there on the chat?
Yeah, I found it.
Good stuff.
I don't know how we're going to do 2 hours about this. There's nothing on here.
It's pretty brutal. I recommend people get ready, lay down in bed now, because we're going to start a sleeping session. And we've had complaints before that people were not warned that this could cause drowsiness in sleep. And they were standing or driving their cars and they almost had an accident. So I'm giving prior warning now.
Yeah, or use the podcast to fall asleep in bed. I also do that at night.
My wife still does it, man. And it works.
Yeah, NVK is actually going after the pharmaceutical industry. You think he makes hardware, but he actually makes sleeping aids.
That's right. All right, boys. So housekeeping. I'm going to start here with OpenSats first. Third wave of Noster grants. I'm not going to read every grant, but it was a lot of them. And then we have long-term support for Glab, Naumenko, and Vasil Dimov, both working on Core. So yes, there is nothing happening in Bitcoin or Noster, and there is no money for Core devs, because clearly that this was a PSYOP. Bitcoin.review now has a Substack. And if you are a boomer or boomer self-identified person like me, you do like email newsletters, and we now send the show notes over Substack. And Johnny was kind enough to go through all of our previous show notes and release them on Substack as well. So it's there for you now. All right. We've recently announced the Sats Link officially, and that's our little peer-to-peer device that is a hacking platform, and you can make all kinds of cool and weird shit. You can now pre-order, and there is a cool article on Bitcoin Magazine and another one on lightningnetwork.plus. The links for it are on the show notes.
Lots of people are going to get mad at you again for taking their Bitcoin for cool and selling them cool stuff.
I mean, listen, you know, I've came to the conclusion that a lot of people are not responsible enough to hold their Bitcoin. So we are taking their Bitcoin. And we're holding it for them forever. Like, we don't sell it. So, you know, it's the same. We're part of the same deflationary movement.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to sell it anyway. Like, the optimal HODL wallet has one button. It's receive. So it doesn't matter. It's off the market.
Yeah, we should make one with no buttons.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, it just shows an address.
But, you know, we do have a firmware we're working on for Cold Card that's a receive-only mode. So you can use it for checking addresses and things, but there's no private key in it, only the XPub.
Oh, that's cool. So you can have like multiple of them. So you'd have the one on your desk that's receive only, and then you go and bury the one that has a seed on it, like under the ocean or something.
That's right. Because See, I really want the device with me to check addresses, but I don't want to be able to sign with that device. So it's like provably bad guy, you know, here, look, there is nothing in it. Like, you can take it with you. You can do whatever you want. But I can still check my addresses. I really want to get that going. So that is in the works. But yeah, with the Satlink thing, I mean, like, I think we talked about it this last episode, did we? Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. So yeah, we want to see what people are going to build with ESP32, including weird stuff. And the last item of the housekeeping is Bitcoin Black Friday. It's coming, and we have a website for it. It's bitcoinblackfriday.org. If you are a company, brand, maker, or anybody who sells stuff, and you want to advertise your deals for Black Friday, send an email to sales@coinkite.com, and you're going to hear back from us on how to participate. It doesn't cost anything. This is a just sort of like a fun thing, so people have a place to get their deals known. Because Bitcoiners are cheap. We want the deals. We don't want to spend the sats. So it's amazing how many people wait for Black Friday to buy the stuff. That's all I have for housekeeping today. Vulnerabilities disclosures. Replacement cycling attacks on the Lightning Network still a threat, according to Antoine Riard. And you guys want to go over it? I don't know much about this attack.
So I've looked a little bit into this. I'm pretty sure I will get some of the details wrong, but
that's what the show is for.
All right. Okay. So I'll hope someone will correct me. So as far as I understand, this is a vulnerability that has been found on basically all Lightning node implementations, and it's related to forwarding an HTLC. And as your listeners might know, if you're a forwarding node, you get an incoming HTLC and you pass it along to the next node and increase the CLTV delta of that HTLC such that you can always, in case, you know, something bad happens, you know for sure that you'll be able to get your money back from the incoming HTLC earlier than you have to give, forward the money to the next person when they go on chain. So this attack is apparently related to, basically you have two ways of closing an HTLC, with a time lock or with a pre-image. And if you're the honest guy who wants to close an HTLC with a time lock, this attack basically makes use of your mempool policy and broadcasts pre-image close of the forward, the node that you forward to, broadcasts that with a much higher fee. And it keeps doing that over and over again, such that your legitimate close transaction gets evicted from the mempools over and over again until the time lock is passed. And then they get away with their pre-image close. So the way they apparently managed to mitigate this across different implementations, and this is a very serious bug, that means you could basically be kind of double spend as a routing node, so they could literally take away your money. So this was patched by increasing the strictness of mempool policy, basically of aggressively rebroadcasting this legitimate closing transaction, and also increasing the default CLTV delta that node implementations use, because the higher that is, the more the attacker has to pay in fees to replace your transaction over and over again. So that's basically the rough idea here. So update your Lightning nodes, check out what the latest version of your implementation is that you're using, and updated for LND. I've seen that the version that patches this is 0.17 beta, which is the latest release. So I assume also for the other implementations, that's kind of latest. So yeah, do some work and update your infrastructure.
Thank you, sir. That was comprehensive. If you got something wrong there, I would not have caught it. So, you know, it's kind of like asking, you know, questions to the ChatGPT, and like, you know, it just bullshits you into something. It's just long enough. They're like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll take it.
Yeah, I just read that from ChatGPT, by the way. Perfect.
We're going to replace this show by automating it.
Just pipe dev list messages into ChatGPT, yes, and then do voice synth, and you've got the podcast.
There you go. All right. We now go to the software releases and project updates for Bitcoin. Bitcoin Core version 25.1. I still can't wash off the move of Ks to 25 instead of
0.25. Yeah.
Yeah. It's never going to go away from my brain, I guess. P2P parallel compact blocks download stake 3. Unconditionally return when compact block status read status failed. I guess there was a fix. Fees, fee estimation avoid serving stale fee estimation. RPC fix invalid back32 address handling. And I'm going to skip through. There is a lot. So yeah, Bitcoin Core version 25.1.
Yeah, it looks like it's mostly bug fixes. There's some CI fixes in here. Like they're using a different container for building the ARM builds. There's a bunch of like build improvements. It looks like it's mostly, you know, bug fixes and kind of tech debt stuff.
Well, it's always like that, right? When we have like a major version release, the patch release comes like not much later after,
yeah. Right?
Because you have a lot of new big features and then you find a lot of in the wild problems and you have to fix them very soon. So yeah, so good to see. RoboSats version 0.5.3-alpha, new feature, face-to-face. Users can now add location face-to-face cash trades and other cool things.
Yeah, I wonder how useful that's actually going to be. Like there's face-to-face options and things like BISC, and they tend to have really low liquidity because, you know, what's the likelihood that all the users on BISC are going to be in the same place? I feel like this kind of thing makes a lot of sense if there's, you know, a conference going on or something else where you're going to aggregate a bunch of Bitcoiners together. But yeah, I wonder how much trading volume face-to-face RoboSats is actually going to have.
Well, face-to-face means really at gunpoint.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, in the early days of Bitcoin, you'd meet the guy at Starbucks. You both bring your full laptops. In those days, laptops needed power supply because the battery didn't last half an hour. And you sit in front of each other and you wait for transaction confirmations. But, you know, your 2,000 Bitcoin purchase costed, you know, like $20.
Mm-hmm.
So you move on, right? I mean, it's not a big deal. Nobody's going to shoot anybody over, you know, $20, $200. But nowadays, that has changed.
Well, I mean, the other thing is RoboSats is all over Lightning using like HODL invoices. So it's still like $50 transactions. Like they don't do large transactions over RoboSats. So I think it might be a similar dynamic.
Is there any point to face-to-face when you think about it? Like, you know, you just deposit to wallet and you give cash. Like, I mean, right?
Yeah.
I also wonder, I mean, one of the major benefits of something like RoboSats or these systems are, you know, you have an escrow in the middle that can, in case of a conflict, then solve the issue. Face-to-face, your fist solves the issue.
That's right. Yeah. Proof of fist.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that is nice about it is with RoboSats, last time I checked, there weren't any, like, no KYC payment methods. Everything on there was like, you can send money via Zelle or PayPal or something else. I don't know if there were any that you could do. Like BISC supports cash by mail, which is kind of funny. But, you know, this as far as I know, this is the first like cash way to transact on RoboSats, which is kind of interesting. But again, I don't know how much it's actually going to get used.
And oh, there's also a high likelihood that we're missing something.
Yeah, probably.
You know, like there is a point to it. They know and we don't.
Yeah.
And it was useful to like a big subset of users, and that's why they invested the time on making it. So yeah,
well, I look forward to all of those users yelling at me on Twitter that I'm an idiot. It'll be great.
It's always
at least from looking at the summary here, it also seems like they've put a lot of thought and work into making this as private as possible. So
do you think it's maybe because of like the geocaching or like something related to drops and things like that? Maybe that's what they mean by it's not really face to face, it's more like face to bench, you know, where somebody made a drop or something. But anyways, very cool, very interesting. Samurai version 0.99.98i. That's a lot of numbers and letters. Scan animated PSBT QR codes, sign transaction tool, bet spend import, option to mark transactions changes do not spend and a lot of other things. Cool.
What are they using animated QRs for?
PSBTs.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the current animated PSBT standard for animated, it's horrible. And I don't know. Like, we need something better. It takes like 50 libraries to produce a QR code.
Oh, God.
Who would code something like that? And also QRs should be binary. But anyways, at some point we should release a new QR standard. And I mean the Royal Wii, that's CoinK.
we Bitcoin, not we NVK. Yeah.
That's right. It's amazing, right? Because QR is such a beautiful, beautiful, amazing, ultra streamlined technology that is so simple and it's been butchered. BTC Pay Server version 1.11.7. Pool payment, add QR scanner for destination and infer payment method. Greenfield, allow deleting user by email. Greenfield, add missing checkout V2 settings. These guys are also starting to look into using BIP85 child seeds for a bunch of stuff so that you're not as concerned about your server getting owned and all your coins gone. So there's some cool stuff going on behind the scenes there. Peach version 0.3.2, connect to any Electrum server of your choice, block user feature, new contract screen with additional data. Cool. Simple Bitcoin wallet version 2.5.4, send from multiple attached wallets at once. Demo 2.5.5, all wallet addresses can now be found in search mode. And a bunch of other things.
Well, and they also implemented BIP322 message signing. So that's Craig added that to Sparrow, I think 2 months ago, something like that. So in, 2 months, we've had two wallets implement BIP322, which is pretty exciting.
Cold card supports 322.
Oh, cool.
For message signing.
I didn't realize that.
We were big proponents. But as usual, the BIPs take so long that you forget about it. Trezor Safe 3 means that the other ones weren't safe. They added a closed source secure element, and by their own definition, they're now closed source. I am bitter about this one because they FUDded secure elements for like a decade, and then they add the secure element that is closed source. It's kind of hilarious. I'm just glad to see that they have to bite the bullet and be better. But yeah, congrats on your launch. Wasabi, Coin Join API enables broader access to collaborative Bitcoin transactions catering. Okay, so they have an API now for Coin Join. I guess you're looking for more clients.
Yeah, I'm curious how that works. It's like you have to like verify the binded paths or binded signatures and all that. Like, so you can't just have an API that does some of it. Like, you need a lot of fancy stuff as well to go along with it. So. Curious like how they expect people to handle all that too.
Yeah, you're right. I think they also supply libraries, not in many different languages. I think it's maybe even C#, but I don't want to be wrong about that. So they're there. Wabi Sabi Coin Join protocol is similar thing to an eCash protocol, which is why I kind of looked into it. And you're right, in order to process blind signatures, you will need additional software for that. But I think this is a cool step. I would like to have coin joins in more places. And if this makes it easier for a wallet to just, automatically spend in a coin join or from a coin join, that's a great thing to have.
Yeah. Citadel 0.2.9 LND update, ALB integration refactored, already a Rust-based re-implementation of Tor, streamlined app system implementations, and Raspberry Pi 5 compatibility. BISC version 1.9.14, new payment methods and BISC price index update. Blue Wallet version 6.4.9 added airdrop multisig cosigner. Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. It's nice to see like Blue Wallet still sort of like, plowing through, still coming around and.
Yeah, I still think the nunchuck mechanism where it does like a matrix end-to-end encrypted chat between all of your cosigners to trade pub keys and to trade PSBTs is still like the best experience, yes. But AirDrop is great. Like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, Hugo has put a lot of thought into Nunchuck. And yeah. One cool thing that you don't see often is that they built everything native for every platform.
Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, it's a lot of work.
Is this actually using Apple's AirDrop to communicate between devices? Yep. That's what it's about? That's pretty dope. Nice.
Yeah, so like if we're in the same place and we want to set up a collaborative multi-sig wallet instead of me having to, you know, send you over Signal, like my pub key or something, we can do it all over over AirDrop, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Node Eyes version 23.10, new panel, geyser fun panel spotlights, and a bunch of other little updates. Samurai Sentinel 5 version 5 allows you to convenience of managing UTXOs on mobile without the risk of taking private keys hot. They've updated. It seems like they updated a bunch of things. Please, people, do not put your XPub of your massive, most important treasure chest into a phone, please. Because even though your private keys are not there, if you get beaten enough, you're going to show. And now they know that you have a lot, and now they're going to beat you even further. So no one knowing and you not even having with you is always the best security. Ronin Dojo. Version 2.1.0 now forces Docker logging onto storage drive regardless of defaults, remove auto login for physical access, running OS, made some updates, and a bunch of other things. Boats. It's a non-custodial Bitcoin exchange. They did a few things on their UI and a bunch of other features. Smart Vaults. Smart Vault is a wallet that leverages Miniscript and Taproot for safety, recoverability, and usability. Smart Vaults for testnet is on test flight. Cool. That's cool.
Aren't so they this using is like Noster or something too?
Yeah, you wouldn't surprise me if they're using Noster as the coordinator.
This is a vault that you set up solely from your phone. Is that the idea? So you use your phone to set up a vault and you stash that script somewhere deep in your, I don't know, luggage? How do you?
I'm going to their website now. Wow, the app looks pretty. Let's see here. Now, no counterparty risk. Control your Bitcoin. Unlock new cases. Collaborative Bitcoin custody. Oh, okay. So I think I remember hearing about this. Essentially, it's collaborative multi-sig, but it's like social. So you pick people from your social graph and you get them to be cosigners for things.
And then I think they're doing the time decay multi-sig thing. Like they're burying scripts in the tap tree to say, you know, normally I have to get, you know, Alice and Bob to also co-sign my transaction. But if Bob is unresponsive, then after 3 months, it's just me and Alice. And then after three more months, then it's just me or something. A lot of people are playing with doing, you know, time decaying multi-sig setups, like buried in a tap tree. That's what Liana's doing. The Trident wallet from the Anchor Watch folks, like they're doing something similar. One of the big downsides with that approach is it means that you have to roll your UTXOs over every whatever time period to reset the counter. Right. And like the problem is that relative time locks on a UTXO start when the UTXO is created, not when you want to withdraw it. Right. So one of the big differences between using modern Miniscript approaches and something like OpVault is what you really want to be able to do is say, when I start my withdrawal, it's a 1 week timer during which I can cancel it. And then after that, the money goes. What you kind of have to do now is say, I'm going to set up all my timers ahead of time. And if I don't use them, then I have to send my Bitcoin back to myself to reset all of the time locks. So stuff like this is really cool. I'm really glad that people are experimenting with it. But I think in the long term, we're going to need some kind of covenant opcode to build the self-custody that people actually want.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's like until we have OpVault, I think all this stuff is cool. maybe usable by business, but I don't think it's realistically usable by users. That's just my take.
Well,
but here's the thing. It's very important that people play with it. Like, that's the part that I think is like, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but because like we still need people to start like, you know, working on it and creating solutions with it. Like, this is all very important still.
Yeah, absolutely.
So don't be discouraged by the fact that the users are not going to be using it still for a while, you know.
We also don't know whether we're going to get Upvault or not, right? So it's not here yet, and everything could happen. Although,
for sure,
I'm in big favor of it. This is still the most advanced way of building such a system. I guess you're right. You have to be online as a user. It's maybe not so useful, but as a service where you have servers that are online and you do a couple of Bitcoin transactions every month or so, it doesn't really matter. So this is still a great choice.
Yeah, and like if you don't do it this way, the other way that you can do this today is by having a whole bunch of pre-signed transactions with ephemeral keys that you throw away. So you say, you know, whenever the contents of my wallet changes, I'm going to pre-sign transactions that spend like my wallet contents to a staging area, and then after a time lock, send them from the staging area onto their destination. Or there's an alternative path where I like sweep them back to my wallet immediately. But that requires that you have like a server online all the time, and you have to worry about the durability and availability of all those transactions. And you have to worry about like secure key deletion, which is a hard problem. So if you, you know, go in that direction, then you have different liveness requirements than this direction. This direction probably makes more sense for, you know, an app on your phone. Like, you don't need always online infrastructure to handle all that co-signing. So I'm thrilled that they're working on this. Like, this is super important stuff to explore.
I think the important part here is that like these imperfect and nearly unusable setups, they highlight the need for the covenants or really output scripts. It's like, you know, essentially we're showing that like this is as far as we can go with the current scripting capabilities. We need these other primitives on Bitcoin in order to advance further, right? And because before it was just sort of like people waving their hands, it's like, you know, technical people understand the waving of the hand saying, hey, you know, we can do this, we can't do that. But then users can't. And now the users have access to these things. They're going to understand by using it that, like, you know, why we need covenants and Upvault and CTV and things like that. I think the conversation is actually moving forward quite well on the CTV Upvault sort of helm. I think people should listen to the last Upvault episode. It might help you sort of like see where we're at.
James now is like a PR to Bitcoin Core to like actually do it.
Yes.
Everything. It's awesome. We activated it on Mutiny Net.
We bullied James into it.
Yeah, 100%. Well, and my favorite shitcoin, Mutiny Net, now supports Upvault, which is really exciting.
There you go. Perfect.
Ben, I meant to tell you, I spun up my own Mutiny Net. It worked perfect. I had to change like a few lines in the Docker file, but it went great and I love it.
Awesome. Nice. Apparently the other day we had some like random foreigners think it was a real like airdrop, and they're like amazing, spamming the faucets to try to stack as much as they could.
Yeah. Thanks for building Mutiny Net. It's the best shitcoin Bitcoin testnet that there is. Orange Pill app. Group that chat multiple chat admins, enable markdown in event descriptions and improvements. Oshi, Bitcoin Rewards Company, they launched a suite of features.
I actually just interacted with Oshi for the first time. I wasn't planning on it. Like, I bought some protein bars from this like small company that sells them for Bitcoin. And I got an email that was like, you earn sats back, and you go to this page and you put in an LN URL or an LN address, and they send you a Lightning transaction with like your sats back. It was like pretty slick.
It is surprisingly somebody giving you Bitcoin back is more rewarding than people think it is. It's like, it's a weird thing. It's like, what? I just got free Bitcoin. It's not like credits. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I was just hanging out with Michael Atwood, the founder, and he's like, he was saying that like most of their users are like non-Bitcoiners too. They're just like, random people that like shop online, and then they get like an email and they're like, oh cool, and download like Wallet Satoshi and are now using Bitcoin, or at least have some.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. All right, Project Spotlight, PleeBook, a comprehensive community resource designed to support and enlighten aspiring developers and builders venturing into the exciting Bitcoin and Lightning ecosystem world. Wow. I'm inspired by that description. Tia, mobile multi-sig wallet now in public beta. Oh, more multi-sig wallets. Nice.
They were actually a Y Combinator project, which like in, you know, 2022 or something, like Y Combinator having a Bitcoin multi-sig wallet was a happy surprise. So excited to see what they do.
Here, Tapleaf Circuits, a proof of concept implementation of BitVM for Bristol Circuits. Let the shitcoin gates of hell open into Bitcoin. Really is just a way to bridge Ethereum to Bitcoin. And
shout out to Super Testnet. He is just a machine. It's incredible how fast he got into all of this and built this Tapleaf Circuit demo of BitVM and showing everyone that it's possible to actually use it within a couple of days.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. There's a lot of stuff that still needs to get built even for the basic demo. Like as far as I know, I don't think he's built the whole challenge response protocol, which is like a really, really important step, because the way that this works for folks who haven't been following it, like BitVM is a week and a half old or something, right? So a lot of people probably haven't dug into it yet, is you have two parties and they commit to some off-chain computation, and then one of them can like optimistically spend the money. And what BitVM gives you is it gives you a way of on-chain challenging the result of the computation and like slashing a bond that they post if they did it wrong. So they optimistically spend, and then if you catch them, then you slash them, basically. It's kind of like a, you know, LN punishment kind of model. So the part that Super Testnet has is you can have two people commit to this circuit that represents a computation, and you know they can like spend money to and from it. The actual challenge response part, if one of them is lying, is I think like the next big step that needs to get worked out.
Cool. All right. Happy shitcoiny. I know people are excited about this. ESP Miner has been updated, so you can keep on mining with your ESP32s. I love the commitment. Like it really is awesome. Like
I wonder if the whole global community of ESP miners is as powerful as one S9. That would be something that, you know, maybe I'm totally off, maybe they're close to an S9, but that would be something fun to calculate.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I like the silly stuff that doesn't pretend to be like, you know, real kind of thing. That's why I like it. All right. ChatBTC, learn about Bitcoin technology, history, and AI chatbot. Okay. You know, I must say ChatGPT-4 with Bing is pretty spot on. I mean, like, they've moved on from having old shit data. Like, it's, and I've been playing a lot with this stuff now. And I think it's just like, I feel like people are just been building like bad prompts, like bad questions. Like they're trying to talk to somebody as if it's like a person or something, like instead of like understanding how these things work and sort of asking it that way. It really gives fantastic answers. It's been, and you can ask it to double check, which is really cool because it does double check with more sources and then gets a better answer. Like, it's, you know.
Well, I'm very optimistic about projects like this because, I mean, I'm particularly interested in Bitcoin. So I'm just waiting for someone to put all the knowledge of Bitcoin in such an advanced learning
group. So that's what ChatBTC is trying to do. They're trying to you know, train an LLM on just like Bitcoin content so that it gives more specific Bitcoin answers.
Yeah, exactly. So as a developer, I just find myself either Googling or sometimes even, you know, challenging ChatGPT to explain to me how the Tapleaf spend again works or something like that.
Let's try.
And I would love to have, you know, very accurate and recent information in that.
Let's see here.
Language model.
Oh, we're going to get there. Okay. Please explain how Bitcoin Tapleaf work. Bitcoin Taproot upgrade is a significant milestone that enhances the privacy, scalability, blah, 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 blah. Tapleaf is a crucial component associated with Merkleize Alternative Script 3, MAST. Here's a simplified explanation of how Tapleafs work. 1. Script embedding 1.0. Taproot permits the embedding of script with Bitcoin transactions. Tapleaf are individual scripts within a Taproot structure, each associated with a particular condition under which the Bitcoins can be spent. Merkle trees, 1.0. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I have my AI always giving me versioning of every answer. I was reading that. Anyways, like, it's still going here. Like, it's, yeah, it's like, it's pretty bang on. And I, you know.
I just asked the ChatBTC a question about doing a time decaying multisig in a tap tree. And it gave me a big answer. And then it lists the sources. And the sources come from BTC Transcripts, the Bitcoin Stack Exchange, the Bitcoin Ops Schnorr Taproot Workshop, and then some more Bitcoin Stack Exchange questions. So, like, those are, you know, decent sources.
I mean, this thing is still going, by the way. Like, it's now giving me a little preamble here on Schnorr signatures. Hang on, I'm going to, like, can you write me a sample script?
Well, the cool thing about this is that they also trained a couple of identity, like, players you can chat with. You can chat with Andreas Antonopoulos or Merch, Greg Maxwell, and so on. So you can get help from the best of the OGs.
It's moving very slow.
I asked the Merch bot what is branch and bound, and it didn't know, so which was pretty funny. So,
did you give it context, though?
No, I just said, like, what is branch and bound? Ask.
Like, when you have, like, something that's very sort of specific, first ask, like, what do you know about, like, you know, like, I don't know, Bitcoin scripts, like, a random question. Now the thing knows you're referring to Bitcoin and has all the inherits, all the context. Jesus Christ, is writing me an actual Tapleaf script here with Bob and Alice and Carol, I guess, as examples on the script. Like, okay, this is impressive. Anyways, I'm going to let it hack the world here beside me while we move on the list. All right. Bitcoin TLDR, summarized posts from Bitcoin Dev and Lightning Dev mailing list. That's nice. I think that is a podcast candidate.
Yeah, this is also based on an LLM as far as I understood. So it reads all the news from Bitcoin Dev, Lightning Dev, and just summarizes them in easy language or in a couple of points, which is
That's awesome.
Great for, you know, looking for something than to dive into deeper.
And then again, BitVM Online, play with Tapleaf circuits by Super Testnet. Bitcoin OpTech newsletter. Schmitty did me a huge solid here. I've asked him to give me a ultra, ultra summarized OpTech for us to be able to still read on the show.
Wow.
So this is customized for a Bitcoin review, guys. Isn't that cool?
That's pretty cool.
I am honored to read his words. All right. So highlights from recent Bitcoin OpTech news. 273 payment contingent on arbitrary computation. That's the BitVM stuff. Proposed bit by Moosig. Two fields in PSBT by Andrew Chow. That's very cool because, you know, we're finally going to have use for PSBT V2s. Another thing, if Chow is listening or anybody who's interested in developing this, I really, really want anti-clapto happening through PSBT V2.
Yeah.
Because I am not going to implement a vendor-specific anti-clapto protocol because it's idiotic. We move back to the old vendor-specific stupid stuff. We need to do everything through PSBT V2, and everything a hardware wallet should talk is PSBTs. It shouldn't talk anything else. So that'll be really cool. I hope somebody bites the nerd snipe and go develop that.
Well, and like one of the things that's being added or proposed to be added support music to is public nonces from your cosigners. So, you know, we're pretty close to having, I forgot exactly what the commitment is in anti-klepto, but it's like a commitment that you include in the nonce when you do the signing. I feel like we're not too far from that. So it should be uncontroversial to put anti-klepto commitments into PSBT at this point.
You know, and the other thing I love to sort of add is that, like, you lose things when you do this as well. It's not like a win-only kind of solution for security. because now you're adding a third party to your transaction that could leak private keys. So if you have an evil sort of like way of doing anti-klepto, like maybe your hardware wallet's taking the nonce that is supposed to be coming as a good nonce and now it's a bad nonce and it doesn't know. Anyways, you add a bunch more complexity as well, where if you have just deterministic nonces, is not an issue. That's what we do. There is an RFC for it. Like we're not going to move from deterministic nonces until we find that, like, you know, the anti-klepto solutions are safe enough, simple enough that there is no room for fuck up. I think it's deterministic builds with deterministic nonces is deterministically better.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky with like Musig and Frost because like you can't do deterministic nonces, but you know, that's why you have this like multi-round protocol where everybody sends their nonce commitments and then, you know, can validate that they're not cheating and they're not trying to give you a bad nonce after the fact. But that stuff's all really complicated.
Very. And unresolved still. At least like in terms of how do you implement this in a real world sort of hardware wallet scenario, right?
Yeah.
All right. 272 specification for OpTX hash. There is a BIP, a draft BIP proposing OpTX hash. It's kind of cool to see. It's an alternative to CTV, even though it could just be both. But I, you know, there is no point in having both. Realistically, it's either going to be a mix mash of some of these or one of these wins. Personally, I prefer CTV over TX hash because I don't like complexity, but TX hash is also very powerful and interesting. What else? 271, secure remote control of Lightning nodes proposed by for a blip, allowing users to send sign commands to their LN nodes from a hardware signing device. That's cool. Payment splitting and switching, plugin enable forwarding nodes to inform peers about supporting payments splitting and switching PSS. Cool. Don't know much about that one.
This is pretty cool, payment splitting and switching, as far as I understood. So if when you have a normal Lightning transaction and it passes several hops, this protocol or this idea allows two nodes in this route to come together and say, I want to forward this payment to you, but can I use multiple channels, multiple paths to reach the next node? So this is something between you and me, and we can agree on that, I guess, through this protocol. And I can use, you know, several routes. Why is that important? Because one channel might not have the liquidity that I need to send this particular payment to you. But with this, I can use multiple channels at once. So this might improve payment routing reliability if this gets really used by a lot of nodes. Very cool. And the cool thing is that it, you know, you don't have to upgrade the whole network. Not everyone has to speak it. It's enough if two peers speak this protocol.
Nice. I think it helps as well with like balance probing, where since you can like send across multiple channels for a single thing, you can like prevent people from probing you a little bit more.
Cool. It's nice to see standards. XKCD cartoon ensues. All right. Pooled liquidity for Lightning. Proposal for side pools involving groups of forwarding nodes using multi-party state contracts for off-chain fund movement. That's a mouthful, but very cool. That would be nice. We need ways of pooling liquidity. Liquidity is still completely nightmare to manage if you are more one-sided kind of entity. Like if you're doing mostly receiving, for example, it's still not fun to manage that or not pay more than the equivalent in credit card fee. All right. Lightning Plus L2 Plus.
L2. What's the plus?
What's the plus is L3.
All right, I see. Or I thought maybe floating point numbers.
That's right. All right, LDK 0.0.117. Hey, guys, time to move, you know, 1Ks over here to the left, you know, yeah. If you're versioning. Once you get over 100, it's time to, you know, one order of magnitude update.
Not even a major version, just bump the minor version. Like, it's
That's
fine.
Right.
My understanding is they're supposed to be close to the 0.1, so they just went to like 99 or something, and now there's been more releases like after that since before they thought they were close to the 0.1. But I hear it's supposed to be in like the next one or two will be actually a 0.1.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. That's right. All right. So batch channel opens, basic watchtower client support, important fixes for anchor channel users, custom HTLC, TLVS, a new KV store interface, better payment success rates.
The new KV store interface, I think, is actually like the most interesting thing here. Like being able to write better backing stores for all your channel state is really important in all the places that people want to deploy LDK. So that's actually great.
Yeah, it was super important for us at Mutiny because before your storage had to be like blocking so you couldn't like do it asynchronously. And we have like things like encrypted cloud storage, which like has to be async.
Yep.
And so before we just kind of YOLO save where you would just like, we'd like initialize it, but we couldn't wait for it to complete because you can't block in the browser. So, but with this now we can save and like actually wait for it to complete, which is really nice because now we don't have to just be like force close happened because something went wrong that we can't control. But now it's fixed a lot of our issues.
Yeah, I've got a buddy working on an application that has to do a lot of simultaneous, you know, channel state updates in LDK. And so they have their own storage backend that, you know, manages batching and flushing to the storage layer. And so it's an asynchronous interface, like by definition, and they ran into that problem too. So this is pretty exciting.
Cool. All right. We
also,
are ready for
I just looked, the release name for this was everything but the 12 kitchen sinks, which I think might be a Bolt 12 joke. So I don't know, maybe they're hinting at something in the future.
Yeah, Bolt 12 was supposed to be in this one and then they didn't get it in, but I think it's going to be out this week or something.
Do you think maybe they bumped the minor version with that?
No. 0.18 or 1.18 is supposed to come out this week, and that'll have Bolt 12. But
personally, what I would do is if once they launch Bolt 12, I'll do a 0.12.
Yes.
Just jump. All right. It's time for L3, guys. Kali, do you want to read your software update?
Yeah, so this is Elembits. Elembits calls itself Layer 2.5 because it's a middleware between your Lightning node and the application that you're writing. So we had a pretty big update for Elembits 11.0. We also released 0.11.1 in the meantime, which is minor bug fixes, but this release is a very big one. We have a contributor called Jackstar. He's a very impressive coder, and he helped us a lot in building a node manager inside Elembits. So now you can manage your Lightning channels, your nodes, see incoming, outgoing payments and so on inside your Elembits. And it works with Core Lightning and LND at the same time. So you can use it for both, which is great news for Core Lightning specifically because the choices you have for Core Lightning are pretty limited in how you can manage your node. But our goal is to write a, standard interface. The way we do it in Elembits is always treat everyone equal, basically all the backends. So we also want to add Eclair here. And then, LDK node implementations that get popular can also be added there to have one place to manage your node and open channels and close it and so on, and have all your Elembits apps in the same place. So this is a pretty big one that I'm very excited about.
Very cool. I guess the cashew part of Elembits management is separate, right?
Yeah, the cashew extension, it's an extension which lives in its own repo and you can download it. And what it does is basically run a very similar thing than to Nutshell, which is the name of the standalone cashew mint. So it basically runs Nutshell as an extension inside Elembits and allows you to use the use Elembits wallets or the Lightning node that Elembits connects to as a funding source. So that means you can make cashew use basically anything that Elembits can use as a funding source and make everything, plug and play.
Cool. Albi version 3.3.0. Send and receive on-chain Bitcoin by signing with your Albi master key and a bunch of other updates.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
Oh, they can sign PSBTs now?
Yeah, so there's a new like browser API that a couple of browser wallets support called WebBTC. And the idea is that you have, you know, a browser wallet is like a Chrome extension, and then a web app can call a standard set of methods on this like WebBTC like window object and interact with the browser wallets in like a very consistent way. So the idea is like you know, want to be able to like send some Bitcoin somewhere, you can have either the web app itself or it reaches out to like a server and the server puts together like a PSBT, and then you say like webbtc.sign and you give it the PSBT, and then whatever wallet you have installed will like pop up and render out, you know, here's how much you're sending, here's the addresses that you're sending it to, here's the fee rate, whatever. And you click sign, type in your password, and it sends it off. And so I think this release, they're integrating with that API. And so you can start using Albi for doing like on-chain stuff in the browser, which is pretty cool.
Neat. I don't know. It's the fucking browser.
Yeah. I mean, like, should you keep a lot of money in your browser wallet? Like, no. But are there, you know, cool things that you can do with Bitcoin if it's hooked up to the browser? Like, yes.
I think it's like one of those things that like I cannot ever talk about the browser and security without like not giving a warning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the case that there is one person listening to this, like goes like, you know, full sand and yeah. The money's gone.
Yeah.
Any other cool things that is Albi released that you noticed or?
I think there's like some UX improvements around. So one of the things that you've been able to do in Albi for a while is like log in with Lightning. Like you can do like an LN URL auth thing. And I think there was some bad UX before where if you hadn't set that up and then you went to log into a site, you kind of got stuck. So they've, you know, made some improvements there. But I think the big stuff is the on-chain support.
Very cool. All right. I mean, like you can't. Bitcoin wallets cannot exist without on-chain support. That is my view. You have to have the graceful fallback to on-chain, period, at all times. I don't care how you make it happen, but it has to happen. All right. Breeze SDK version 0.2.5. Auto-generated React Native bundle and a bunch of other things. Cashew. Talk about L3 shitcoin. Cashew version 0.14.0-RC2. Kali.
Oh, yeah. So this one is also a big one. This is only, again, an update of the big release that we're preparing. But the cool new thing that I can summarize here is that we're bringing pay-to-pubkey, basically finishing the spec, and it's implemented. It works very nicely. It allows you to lock eCash tokens to a pub key, similar to how you can lock on UTXO. And the other thing that we implemented is discrete lock equality proofs. That's another crypto thing, cryptography, I mean, which allows you to validate eCash tokens while you're offline. And when you combine these two features, so I can lock a token to a public key and the token can be validated while I'm offline, mm-hmm. That means you can make offline receiver offline transactions that cannot be double spent. And that is very powerful. So you can basically prepare eCash upfront So if I want to send you eCash and you are offline, I can take eCash and lock it to your public key and then send it over to you. You validate it while you're offline and you know that the eCash cannot be double spent. Because
So if I have some eCash and I want to send it to Ben and I lock it to his pub key, does that locking require interacting with the mint, or is that an offline operation for me?
You do it once when you create the eCash. That is basically you commit to the script once when you mint that eCash. The okay. mint doesn't know the script yet. It only sees the script when the eCash is spent. So it's similar to locking something in an output script and putting a hash over it.
Mm-hmm.
So the mint only sees it upon spending.
But I do it when I create the eCash. So the mint is still blind signing over like a hash of that locking script.
Yeah. So the mint,
okay, cool.
Exactly. The mint is blind signing over the script that you lock it to.
Okay,
and,
cool.
Yeah. And yeah, the last thing I want to mention.
I was thinking that if that was all like an operation on my side that I didn't have to interact with the mint, then I would be able to double spend by creating like multiple instances of the same one. But if it involves the mint, then that's how you prevent double spends.
Yeah, exactly. So the script is committed to indirectly through the mint signature. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I want to mention is I've started also designing HDLCs on top of eCash, which is also being introduced with this release, but it's not useful yet in the release, but the core is there. HDLCs with eCash allows you to do completely crazy things. You can basically unlock eCash with a pre-image or a time lock. And when you combine that, you can marry it with Lightning. So that would allow atomic swaps against a Lightning payment, atomic swaps from eCash to eCash, maybe even crazy ideas of routing payments, you know, via Cashew wallet from Cashew wallet. You know, if you want to support the Lightning network routing using
so
that,
I've,
you could
I've,
also
I've,
do
I've
that.
Got like a, okay, so I've thought about this for 5 seconds, right? So tell me why this is dumb, right? But if you could do an HTLC and eCash, so you can do an atomic swap from Lightning to eCash, and then you can also have an eCash token that's created that commits to a pub key, and you have like DLEQ for like offline verification, then that would mean that you could have like a Lightning gateway in your mint, and maybe it's the mint itself, or maybe it's somebody that just like interacts with the mint, but you could have a Lightning gateway where if Cali is an eCash user, I could send a Lightning payment to his mint that's like aimed at him. And when it gets to the mint, the Lightning operator could do the atomic swap and then mint eCash that commits to Cali's pub key. So only he can spend it, even if he's offline. So that means that Cali can now do an offline receive of a Lightning payment via eCash.
Well, I've just spent 2 seconds thinking about it, but it sounds kind of doable because all the ingredients are there. Probably many ways you could combine these features to build crazy stuff, like as you said. But essentially what it definitely allows you is if you trust the mint to not rug pull you, you don't have to trust any other user doing all of these things that I just described. And so in that case, you might be able to build a bridge, as you said, between two users, even without the mint even knowing what's going on.
Because like offline Lightning receive is really hard to do. And there's additional trust assumptions with Cashew. Like you have to trust the mint not to rug you. But if, you know, if you could not have to trust the mint and also not have to trust the Lightning operator, but only trust the mint, that's like strictly better.
Sounds cool. We'll my excitement about Lightning and Cashew. I'm kidding. I don't know. I love Cashew. I love the idea. I really think that there it has legs. And you know, due to the Lightning complication, which is an absolute nightmare of a complicated protocol, I think it's a very, very, very elegant way of doing small value transactions. I think it's more elegant than Lightning is. But I don't want to get the hate. So I agree the Lightning is the best thing.
And always will be forever.
That's right. Zeus, Taproot Channels. Request simple Taproot Channels from your Olympus LSP. And version 0.8.0-alpha49. They updated LLD and they updated a bunch of other stuff. Oh, they have, you can add and remove contacts now. Are these Noster contacts like Mutiny or?
A little bit. You can like add like NPubs and stuff to your contacts, but you can't sync it like we can in Mutiny.
Okay. Hmm. We need to start like a nice rift between Mutiny and Zeus on Twitter. You know, like it's good
Evan's
for everyone.
The best, but yeah, I mean, it'd be fun though.
I mean, I started fake beef with Rob Hamilton, and it drove a lot of like actual good discussion about the trade-offs of different multi-sig setups. So,
Twitter and it's only strengthened your love. So
that's right.
There we go. All right. Fuck Zeus.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter fights between vendors and providers is great. Everybody wins.
All right. So yeah, the next big fight is between Zeus and Mutiny.
That's right. 10.1, 1.42 and 1.40 collaboratively close a potential broken channel.
Thank God.
It's a lot of updates here. Allow up to 5 BTC Wumbo channels. Yeah, that's haven't used big. This project yet.
But this thing is impressive for anyone who doesn't know what this is. I think it uses DLCs to stabilize the balance in your Lightning channel to any other price oracle that you want to choose between two users. So that might be USD, for example, in a non-custodial fashion. So I think probably it's the only option I know when you want to remain pure Bitcoin and no counterparty risk, except for the trust in the oracle. This is probably your only option to date.
Yeah, they do stable. You can stabilize Bitcoin, so you can hold like a dollar balance in your Lightning wallet. And then they also do non-custodial trading. Like you can do leverage long or leverage short trading against Bitcoin using DLCs over Lightning, which is pretty cool.
People are going to gamble, so please gamble decentrally.
Do it on Bitcoin. Yeah.
Do it decentrally.
That's right.
If you're going to gamble. All right. Fountain 0.8, introduction of new category of music and player updates. Talking about shitcoin node, Mutiny node. Version 0.4.23. I'm just kidding. This is a great Lightning node. Mr. Benda Carman, you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, I mean, this release was just like a small fix we had where basically all of Mutiny has been just trying CLN LDK compatibility issues. This is more of that where our CLN's getting fee rates from Bitcoin Core, we're getting them from Mempool Space, and they disagree, so then they force close channels. We've just been trying to like fix issues like that. But the next LDK release will like let us make it a lot better. But for now, yeah, we have some hacks like this fixing it. But otherwise, we've just been working on a ton of reliability stuff to try to prevent force closures or payments not working and stuff like that.
So does Mutiny node use both CLN and LDK under the hood?
No. So we're LDK only, but our LSP, that voltage run, on CLN. So
got it.
We're just like...
God, that must have been a nightmare to debug. Like you guys get different fee estimates and then all of your channels start force closing. Like that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, and it's scary. It's like one user report, like I just got force closed. And it's like, oh God, everyone's getting fees from the same source. So if anyone opens their wallet right now, they're also going to get force closed.
Yeah.
So that's always like fun, but we fixed it for the most part.
Hey, when iOS?
Soon. We got our Apple account approved yesterday, I think. So not sanctioned yet. But,
I am locked out of my Mutiny because I use lockdown mode on my phones and I can't use progressive web apps anymore. I think that if you just put your progressive web app in a native app browser view, it might actually work and you don't have
to. Yeah, that's what our Android app is, and we plan to do the same for the iOS app, at least initially. So yeah, I think Paul like had it working. It's just like got to pretty it up and then get it approved on Apple and all that stuff.
You know, it's fascinating. You start opening all the apps on the phone after lockdown mode, and it's amazing how like everything breaks because like everybody's doing like wrong. You know, they're fucking loading fonts from like 10 different, like, you know, CDNs, like, and injecting straight into a secure login page. And like, it's just an absolute disaster. Like, especially with big corporation apps, like, none of them work. And it's great. It's like, please break everything because everybody is doing it wrong. Let's make lockdown mode the standard.
Normalize lockdown mode.
That's right.
Oh, I want to give a shout out to Tony when we were talking about Mutiny node, because he wrote one of the best articles I read in the last month or so, which was about your payment success rate in Mutiny and all the different parameters that you need to choose to optimally route a payment for your users through the network with the LSP, I guess. So that was a really great article. I love people publishing their results, publishing numbers and methods, how you actually measured your success rates and so on. We need more of that. So shout out to him again and more of that, please.
Yeah, Tony does write good articles. Taro version 0.3.0. That is the trademark version.
Yeah.
Of Taproot assets.
Taro will
never
die.
Say whatever I want. I am not selling any product under that name. So yeah, that's a Lightning native shitcoin. It's great to see.
This is the mainnet release, which is pretty exciting.
I think Bitcoiners are in for a rude awakening. I think they don't understand that shitcoiners don't want to do shitcoining on Bitcoin. They want the shitcoin Lindy on Ethereum. And they also don't want the Bitcoiners around their shitcoin reminding everybody that's a shitcoin.
Well, we at least we are going to see, right? So as long as the possibility is there, we can actually verify that assertion. And you might be right, but we don't know yet. This will
I don't know, man. RGB and MasterCoin and OmniCoin, all that stuff was being done in Bitcoin since ever. I mean, Tether started on Omni and then they moved to,
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question is going to be whether or not there's enough Lightning liquidity and how good the Lightning experience is. Like, if you're trying to do Tether on Lightning via Taproot assets, but like none of your payments succeed or you can never, you know, receive or whatever, then like nobody's going to use it. So it's, I think it's really good. Like, nobody's going to use Taproot assets at scale on chain, I think. I think it's all dependent on whether or not this actually works well over Lightning and whether there's like good wallet support and if the UX is like actually good. If it is, it could be, you know, really successful. If it's not, then everybody's just going to stay on, you know, Tron and Ethereum.
I think, I mean, at least on the, because see, like Bitcoiners are trying to find solutions for the real world, right? Not just for gambling and pump and dumps. So I think like at least my intuition is sort of if something like this came out like a few years ago, maybe there would be uptake. But I think that now we have better stuff like, you know, Cashew. And that's simple. And the Fedi stuff. And they're a lot more efficient because they're a little bit more centralized. And that's what payments people kind of want. And, you know, like these assets, if they're not for pump and dumps, like they sort of been resolved. Like, I mean, we have good enough tech. But yeah, I mean, you know, plus Lightning Labs have a lot of budget for marketing too, right? So who knows? They're going to pump this a lot to the people who need this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think their whole business model is predicated on bringing a USD denominated stablecoin on Lightning, right? Like if they do that and it's actually successful, then, you know, it's huge. If they
it's Tether. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, is their goal to bring Tether to Bitcoin Lightning? That's the only thing that there is to do, right? I mean, like, it's the only sort of like quote unquote shitcoin that like has real world use that's not just pump and dump. You know, where is it? Is it the Circle?
USDC
is dead.
Ouch.
Right? And I think there is nothing else left. I mean, like the Binance
USD, or there's like the Gemini USD. PayPal has one now.
Yeah, but funny. Those things are all sort of like tiny volume, fully centralized, and nobody cares, right? Tether is centralized, but it's like a little different. There's a lot of like market share and they like their treasuries.
Tether is huge. Model. I mean, it might even, depending on the volume that something like Tether can be brought onto Bitcoin, it might also affect incentives of Bitcoin itself. Mm-hmm. Mining incentives, maybe these transactions will be preferred or, you know, we can't say yet. But I still think we need to explore all possibilities.
Yes.
So there is no other way to find out.
Well, and also like, you know, Taproot Assets is being built in a permissionless way. Like it doesn't require soft work. It doesn't take consensus. Like it's allowed on the network. So it's going to happen. And, you know, if the incentives work out, great. If they don't, then it'll wither and die.
You know, if everybody calls it Taro, like seriously, like good luck to the copyright holders on that. Like,
yeah,
you know. Anyways, Lightning Terminal version 0.12.0-alpha. They have a bunch of updates. Torque, similar thing, 1.3.0, bunch of updates. Ride the Lightning, don't know what that is, version 0.14.1.
This is a node management software. So this is also something that can manage multiple node implementations. And it's almost your only, it's probably not your only choice, but most popular one for core Lightning users. So cool. This is one of the
few
ways.
Isn't Torque something that people do? Because Torque seems to be very pro.
Probably. I thought Torque was also about liquidity management and there were, you know, routing nodes. I'm not quite sure about that, but Ride the Lightning has been around for quite some time and one of the main ways to connect to core Lightning APIs back in the days, but I think those things are also changing right now.
Voltage Cloud developed a domain-specific landing. I hate when people put the whole. Anyways, DSL for Lightning Network, Doppler. Do we need a DSL?
So I think that this is, there's another tool called Polar,
which is like it runs on top of Docker and it's for spinning up a bunch of Lightning nodes on RegTest to do like testing and software development. And I think this is like a DSL to orchestrate that and then also to script out interactions. So if you wanted to have a test where you spin up four Lightning nodes, you have them all open channels to each other, you have them like do some Lightning spends, and then you have them close channels. This is like a way to script that out.
Very cool. Stacker news, Nostr cross-posting, that's cool. Symmetric LUD 18 and cult replies and a bunch of other updates. Nayuta wallet increased the wallet limit to 2 million sats. RBJS SDK updated. That's scaling cool. Lightning version 0.3.2 is a testing toolkit for Lightning Network. Thunder launch Clinch, an API designed to enable instantaneous borderless low fee peer-to-peer wagering using Bitcoin Lightning Network.
I'm curious how that's going to work in practice, because the way it works is like two people do like payments routed through the Thunder node, and then it's like locked liquidity, like held HTLC. Mm-hmm. So if you did like a long-term bet, you would like lock up liquidity and maybe cause force closes. So,
yeah, right. Like if you're betting on a game of StarCraft and it takes you like half an hour to do it, like that's going to lock up liquidity for a while.
Yeah. Or if it's like a whole like tournament, like yeah. you're betting on like who wins, like that could be months and you know, you'll get force closures for sure then. So, but it's a really cool idea. I love the video game gambling stuff.
As you mentioned, Polar version 2.1.0 adds support for Taro. Project Spotlight, Tribble, Pari Mutual Sports Betting, cool casino. You know, people are going to start using a technology when the casinos start to pop up. Bidgely, a non-custodial Bitcoin Lightning wallet built on Flutter. Plasma, core Lightning wallet for iOS. Oh, cool. All right, Nostr updates.
Wait, so anyone knows whether, did they make Core Lightning run on iOS? Or is this something that connects to Core Lightning?
I think this uses like LN socket to connect to your node, and then you drive your node from the app.
All right, that makes sense, because Core Lightning or C in general, I think the whole thing that they've built is hard to port to different platforms like iOS, I guess, compared to LDK or LND. Mm.
All right, Nostr updates now. NIP 41. It's not account recovery, Pablo. It's key rotation. It's a new NIP for key rotation. It's very cool.
How does that work?
So this was discussed in person, a few of us. They came up with this stupid idea, which is great. Essentially, you have a parent signed for child.
Okay.
So that you can assign a new one. It's deterministic key gen.
So does it come with some kind of like delegation where you say, you know, this child is allowed to post on my behalf?
Yeah. So okay. Like the master doesn't sign. So you can use, it's backwards compatible. That's the cool part.
Okay.
So you can use the master as your key if you want to. So if you don't want to use this, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. But if you're using a four key rotation, the master signs a message saying, hey, this new key is my next key. Right. Okay. And my previous key is dead. Right. So this is essentially using honest clients. So clients would blacklist bad keys, which is not hard to do. And, you know, so it's okay. It's imperfectly great. And then what we do is you make an open timestamp commitment of that interaction.
And that way you can order them.
That's right.
Yeah.
And because remember, Nostr doesn't have time.
Right.
It's like part of its secret of success is the lack of time, right? So you exist, messages exist as a timeless envelope of a assigned message, right? And so it's very hard for you to have a statement saying from here forward, please don't believe this key anymore, right? It's literally impossible.
Yeah.
Nostr is signed, right? So you always sign with your private key, and you know that if you say something, you actually, you know, if you can read it, then someone must have said it, right?
Exactly.
In the case of open timestamp, how do you get the data to prove that this has actually been said, right? Doesn't it introduce the same problem that you need somewhere, like the someone needs to tell you that it happened, then you can go to open timestamp and actually check it, but you still need to learn it.
Well, so I'm looking at the NIP, and there's two new message kinds. There's a kind 1776, which lets you whitelist a pub key. So I have pub key A, and I would like derive pub key B, and I can like whitelist and say in the future, this key is usable by me, but it's not active yet. It's just like I'm adding it to the whitelist. And then a 1777 message migrates to a key that I've previously whitelisted. So I imagine that how this might work in practice is maybe you whitelist a couple of keys and then you broadcast like, hey, I'm using key B, I'm using key C, whatever. Ordering is going to be important here because like you need to know that you've previously whitelisted a key. So that's like one place where timestamps would help. Another one is you probably want to not start attributing, you know, notes to somebody until after they've published their migration message. So, you know, if you imagine you connect to a Nostr relay, you're going to get all of their events, including these like migration messages, but you need to establish ordering to be able to tell that like, yep, they migrated before they sent these notes. So I think that that's what the open timestamps gives you.
You need an anchor somewhere, right? Because again, there is no time in Nostr.
Well, you do actually sign the timestamp, right? In Nostr, when you make a note, then the note has a timestamp and you...
No. Yeah, but that's time. Like, you can...
It's not validated.
So if I'm
anybody.
An attacker, like time doesn't mean anything on a note,
Yeah,
right?
Sure. You could lie about the time. That doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But me as someone who wants to prove that something happened, that I said something before I said
something else. That's why you're
saying,
look at Bitcoin.
Yeah. Well,
so open timestamp.
Maybe a thing here is like if I have keys B and C and I'm using B, and then NVK compromises that key, and so I publish my notification that I'm migrating to C now, and then NVK like publishes a bunch of additional things using like my B key. You want to know when I published my migration message, and so like
it's
the data availability
too, right?
thing comes from the relays. And then you're just using Bitcoin for time anchoring.
And the cool thing is a message saying, I killed this key, right? So essentially key revocation message helps a lot because, you know, now any client that follows key revocation messages can essentially enforce that key blocking at the client side. And you know, again, it's like an honor system for that, but it's okay. Because most clients that people are going to believe in and want to use are going to do that because it's in their interest to not have hacked accounts being shown. And like, I mean, and bad guys are not going to go and revoke keys because it removes their capacity of using the key. It's the only message they can write with that child key.
I'm curious how this will work in practice because like mm-hmm. getting a user to set up multiple keys is... generally like not a hard like,
oh no
hard
so like
thing.
This is all automatic, right? Like you're gonna just like, you know, the user either like loads a child key or, you know, realistically speaking, the people that don't understand any of this shit, they're gonna use like, you know, Primal, and they're gonna go and they're gonna have like all the keys already generated for them, all the stuff already done, and all they get is like, you know, an email with a password. And if they want the key back, you know, they go into settings and they download their key, kind of thing, right?
Okay, yeah, I guess that makes
but,
sense.
But here's the important part, is that like, without this, you cannot have a brand on Nostr.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Because it's over. I mean, like, if your brand gets account compromised, like, it's a huge fucking deal.
So I've migrated from my, you know, child key B to my child key C. So I'm now on my C child key. When I publish a note, which pub key does that go out under? Is it my child key C or is it like the root master? And like the question behind the question is, if, you know, Callie wants to follow me, like, does his client now need to subscribe to my new publishing key? Or is the delegation smart enough that I say, you know, I'm still using my original pub key as an identity, but I'm actually signing the message.
It's not smart. There is no, like, again, without creating a bunch of complication and essentially like proper like key rotation, like crazy setups, like, no, like you can't do any of that stuff. Like, that was always the problem, right? Like, every time we sat down to talk about this, it's like, as soon as you start tipping into just being smart about like which pub keys to follow and things like that, like you just go down a cliff of complication. Like,
well, but so if I use this to rotate my key, then don't I lose all my followers?
Yes. Okay. So what happens is you get, the clients are smart in Noster, right?
Okay. So the clients see my new key activation message and they all follow that one and they associate my name with that one. Got it. That's okay. Right.
Yeah. It is the best imperfect solution that we could find.
For sure.
Again, and like, hopefully this bridge, because it's like, it's kind of like a soft fork thing, right? Like it's backwards compatible and is not also like mandatory. This is like a good stopgap, I think, for us to sort of like figure out what we do next. Because we can also use, here's the cool part. You can use your current key to assign. So like right now you don't have child keys, right? Because nobody does. It doesn't exist. So, but you can now with your master key that you have right now, create a child key and move everything to the child key and stop using your master key on apps too, which is really cool.
Mm. This is definitely what I would do. And I would probably also use different keys for different devices if they could all point to my master absolutely. Key.
Well, no. No, you can't.
If they could point to my master key. And
no, you
somehow,
can't. You'll become a mess. Like the network is not smart enough in that sense. Like you now have like multiple identities and the apps are not going to be able to handle, because, you know, you could have like 10 separate things going on. And we want to give the least amount of state for the relays to track or the clients to track as well, right? That's part of the goal of the protocol, is like be very stateless. So you can't. It's one at a time, ideally. I'm sure some app out there is going to let you have 100 different keys that relate to each other. But
And then what'll happen is every time you go to, you know, post from one of them, it publishes like the key switch message or something. It'll be something like that.
Yeah. That would be so ugly, Jesus.
Yeah, it'd be horrible.
Be horrible.
I think the real solution is like the remote signing stuff that Pablo's been working on. It's like to have a server at home that you talk to that signs
everything.
Yeah, but
that's still like, remember, right? Like with money, you can move the money, right? Bitcoin works that way. That's why it's okay to lose a private key after you took the money out, kind of thing, right? With Noster, you can't. Like you're tied to that identity, right? And losing identity is worse than losing money. You can't. Anyway, so we'll see. I don't know. Maybe this helps us see the limitations of this. And then maybe we do have to go down the more complicated key rotation setups that are out there.
I'm excited about this. My Noster key was generated like just a random time I opened Domus like a year ago. And it was in LastPass when LastPass got hacked. So one day it'll be stolen. So
use LastPass, people. Don't use LastPass.
Yeah, or you rotate before it's stolen.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. Just don't use.
Well, or you like, just tell people it's going to be stolen one day. And then when you go on an unhinged rant on Noster, you just say,
oh, that was hacked.
Yeah, it was all me.
Absolutely. We're all going to have I've been hacked bolting accidents. It would be great. All right. Snort version 0.121, Coracle 0.311, Amethyst, Loom, Amber, Gossip, 0x Chat, Lister. All updated. Very cool. Spring version 0.3.0. Also, I don't know about this one. Don't know much about that one. All right. Project Spotlight. Plebe AI, open source LLM. Noster Playground offers a unique hands-on experience to interact and test, experiment in Noster multi-faceted features. Mimster. A Noster-based web application that creates a global stage for memes and trending content.
I'm here for it.
That's
great.
Yeah. Shopster, a global decentralized marketplace. Hoster, a decentralized web hosting solution. Shipyard by Pablo. And No Stress Comments plugin. I gotta say, in the early days of any like protocol, technology, or whatever, having the technology name as part of your project name is mandatory.
Oh, yeah.
That's how everybody identifies
it. It's like a couple of years ago, everything had bit in the name. Like we're at and that coin, stage of Nostr.
Coin,
yeah.
Kite.
Yeah, for sure.
It was, you know, that's how it works, man. That's how we signal to everybody what we're making.
Lending from a bigger brand.
That's right.
That's right. Exactly. Privacy software, Keet version 2.1.1, mobile calls, blind mirroring, blind pairing, rooms that scale to thousands of peers. Very cool. All right. Did we miss any updates on Bitcoin or Lightning or Cashew or anything that we haven't talked? Okay.
I don't think so.
All right. Boosts. Thanks, everyone who sent us sats. Top booster, Vake, 12,000 sats. Bitcoin is boring and nothing is happening. Amen.
Truth.
Ape me friendier. Interesting discussion from Mr. Hill towards the end. That was last episode. Float some jet some. Cheers. Idea slut.
Yeah.
Idea slut. I like that. Idea slut. My two favorite Matt. Thank you for all your work. Do Bravko. Haven't even listened yet. Just saying y'all got to the top of the list, especially with nothing going on in Bitcoin and y'all putting me to sleep. I drive for a living and like to live dangerously. So thank you for your help with that. Hey, we're happy we can put you to sleep on the wheel.
Uh-oh.
It's just a joke.
NVK fell
asleep. Oh, and he sent a video of BRB.io trying failing to connect. Is that right? Oh, that's great.
Are you guys getting like bug reports now via Boosts? That's great. Oh,
that is beautiful. Yeah, I mean, listen, there is no node that is more relay that is more consistent at providing you failure than BRB.io. Have you noticed it has not gone down?
Everybody. Yeah.
It's still there, providing you valuable errors. Don't be a cop out. Don't block the URL. Handle
yeah, I just errors. Hit it. Perfect 500. Very low latency 500.
Thank God for FreeBSD, right? That's I mean, right. The app is down, but not the server.
That's right.
What more can you ask for?
Right? Consistent. I mean, you should charge for that.
Well, I just downloaded it immediately. I've got a file.
There you go. Michael Matulev. Hands down, one of the best podcast episodes of the year. Thank you, gentlemen, for sharing your conversation. That was about the Covenants episode. People really liked that one. I was amazed that even core devs who normally would cringe at us discussing that stuff were sharing that episode. I feel like maybe we need to do another one where we just shit on more activation methods.
Sounds great.
You know, every week we should just have a show where we talk about 3 hours on how to activate shit on Bitcoin the wrong way.
Yeah. God, what will that be like? BIP8.review. That's what we can call the new one.
That's yeah. Right. And we do shots every time we say speedy trial.
That's right.
All right. Business and finance news. Not interested. Competitors, based. Accelerators, and hackathons. Outlier Ventures. Bitcoin Base Camp Accelerator.
Oh, by the way. Speaking of hackathons, we made the probably history's first eCash hackathon at the BTC++ conference that happened. The next Bitcoin BTC++ conference. And there were 33 participants all spent their Sunday hacking on eCash projects. Fediment devs, Cashew devs. It was fantastic.
What was the coolest thing that you saw?
Well, I was also working on a project called NotStrike, where I made USD eCash using Strike's Lightning backend. That was pretty cool. Then someone used L402 and just merged it with Cashew, basically, and allowed, you know, you can pay for API access using eCash. And very cool projects. Nifty started to build a plugin for CLN to build an eCash mint in CLN itself. So crazy stuff going on.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
By the way, for the people who do want the business and finance news, just go read the Stacker, the show notes.
I think the Legends of Lightning hackathon started like this week or
that's
very recently too. There's another one going on.
Oh, yeah, Hyper-Bitcoinization. The ETF is out reportedly. That was so good. I normally don't like to address the news and shit like that, but like, wow, that was just beautiful. Beautiful. I mean, and then did you see the reporter lady from that publication going on some talk or something and talking about no. like how it's social media's fault that they are yeah. obligated to always break news?
If you're not the first, you're always the last, she said. Yes, so you also have to be the first with the shit news and the wrong stuff.
It's wow. Mirror person, have you ever looked yourself in it? Try one day. Choice IRA SATS mode launched. And President of Madeira, Miguel Albuquerque, announced the creation of a Bitcoin business hub in the region. All these countries keep on announcing all this shit, but like, I can't go to a website, set up a company, and pay no taxes. Like, yeah. you know, make that website, you know, and you get a passport from that country in the mail. Like, that's it. Like, you're going to see all the money going to your country. This is exactly what the Bahamas did with stocks way back in the day. You know, they stopped giving the passports now, but back in the day, you go, you had to fly there because there was no internet, but mm-hmm. you essentially go there, you leave the country with a bank account, business, and a passport. Yep. You know, come on, guys. Let's make $1,000 passports, bank accounts, and businesses a reality. All the Bitcoiners are going to give you a cut of their wins. Hypernostrization. Good one, Joni. Twitter X have started testing not a bot. New subscription method for new users in New Zealand is always the place where they go full authoritarian first, right?
Yeah.
Philippines is weird, but anyways. Mining, Volcano Energy, Luxor Technology Corporation unveils Lava Pool in El Salvador. MDK Progress. It's nice to see the hashboards going. You know, you guys are the people at what's the name? Block Square mm-hmm. thing. It's the only company I know using Intel ASICs. I always thought Intel was going to end up winning that once they get over the hump of production scale and cost.
Didn't they stop producing after the second version or so? I think they withdrew their operations.
Yeah, but if the hashboard is using Intel, I imagine maybe they bought the tech. They're moving on with the tech. They bought the tech.
Yeah.
They must have bought the tech. Nice. It's like Intel does great R&D. It's like, here, for nothing.
look, here's all these chips that we already fabbed, you know?
That's right.
But yeah, no, it's pretty cool. It's a hashboard with 100 ASICs on it, and it's meant to be drop-in replacement for other chassis that are already out on the market. Mm-hmm. So people can start playing with like the SDK and start playing with it without the MDK team needing to spin everything up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Intel has been on a doozy now for what, 2 decades?
Yeah.
They missed out on ARM. Whoops. They could have bought ARM for 100 mil.
Can you imagine?
They passed on that. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yes. They've fucked up with the GPUs. They completely ignored mobile. SGX should not be used by anyone. Yeah, I mean, like, what else is left there at Intel? Like, it's, you know, of course, old contracts, right? I mean, they're going to milk that shit forever. Like, I mean, even Broadcom still develops new stuff. I mean, they buy patents and develop. Well, I mean,
AMD quotes. Has been killing it the last couple of cycles. Like, yeah. Intel is just fighting an uphill battle.
By the way, if people want to understand semiconductors and chip manufacturing and why is unlikely to happen in North America for a long time, there is Asianometric, I can't remember now the name of the YouTuber, has fantastic series talking about semiconductors. I posted one about how Eastern Germany ruined themselves trying to be a pusher of semiconductors way back. And they invested essentially all the country's money in a communist system and fucked up everything. And then they had this guy, he had a great one about copper connects instead of aluminum connects on how, like, essentially that's how you get the silicon smaller with smaller gates. Anyways, fantastic channel about this stuff. I will put the links on the notes as soon as I remember the name of it. It's really, really good. All right, government and political, nope. It's on the show notes.
Hard
for the two people who want it. And reads, we have a bunch of articles here. Any of these articles you guys read was interesting?
I mean, I read the BitVM paper. I thought it was it's cool. I'm very impressed that you can build this thing on Bitcoin. I think there's a lot of really hard problems that have to get solved and a lot of engineering that has to get done before this is actually useful for anything. So I don't know, to be a little bit of a Debbie Downer, like I don't think we're going to see like perfect sidechain pegs or CTV emulation running on BitVM anytime in the immediate future. Like there's a lot of other shit that has to get built for that to work, but yeah, it's impressive that it has to, that it actually works. I think what's going to end up happening is as people build out the tooling to do stuff with BitVM, it's going to really highlight more places that we need covenants. Like something like APO or CTV makes BitVM obviously more useful, but I think all of the pre-computation that has to be done for BitVM is going to require something like a covenant opcode to actually work at scale. So it's a cool paper. You should go check it out. It's like 8 pages long. Shinobi wrote an article in Bitcoin Magazine about it that actually has a really good explanation of how it works, but the paper is only 8 pages.
Oh, also, we should add to the list, Peter Todd wrote a very good article shitting on drive chains, paid by drive chain.
Nice.
On Bitcoin Magazine, and it was good. It's worth reading if you're still you're still in doubt that drive chains are bad, yeah, go read that article.
Yeah, the other
paid by drive chains. Sorry.
The other good article that I would point people to in this list is James OB's Assume UTXO got merged, and Shinobi wrote up an article about how that works and how it's going to make it easier to get Bitcoin node up and running. We talked about it a little bit the last Bitcoin.review, but if you didn't get enough of it, there's a Bitcoin Magazine article about it.
The Orange is the New Green one from Axiom was really good too. I didn't know they were so bullish on DLCs. They had like a whole entire section about it and like how they want to like use that to like counter trade the fiat system and stuff, which is,
oh shit,
pretty interesting. Like from like a VC firm thinking that. So
imagine when they merge that with Japan debt. So they're going to borrow in yen. They're going to do some DLC. And then they're going to like short, you know, something in North America. Things are going to get weird.
And then you have the infinite money glitch.
That's right. That's what everybody wants, right? Infinite money. And all right, boys, any things you guys want to talk show or we forgot? No? So final thoughts, Ben, Car, man.
I know, outlook looks good. Stuff's still happening. Bullish on. And we got BitDevs tonight, so I'm going to talk about BitVM a bunch, so I got to read up more, but I'm excited about it.
Nice. Let's cut out to Ben, because nothing is happening on Bitcoin. How dare you? Kali, final thoughts, sir.
Oh, well, keep building as long as the bear market lasts, guys. Feels like we don't have much time. Seize the hour, seize the day, and keep building.
Yeah.
Until you're all distracted by price movements again.
I think it was Justin Moon who said this is the golden era market, bear market or something. It's like the only funded bear market Bitcoin ever had. Long and prosperous.
It does feel like a special bear market for sure. The amount of stuff that has been built and discovered in this short period of time, you know, 2 years or whatever it is fucking astonishing, really. I don't believe it will go on like this again if the price should skyrocket.
Oh, no, I think it will, man. Like, Bitcoin changed the incentives. That's it, man. We're just going to have awesome shit forever now. Like, it really is that simple. Awesome shit forever. Mr. Rindell, final thoughts.
Yeah, nothing is happening in Bitcoin. Bear market is boring. Let's bring back all the TA macro talk.
Yes, very, very, very bullish on TA macro. I think with that, we should just close it. Thank you so much. And if you're still listening, you have a problem. You shouldn't.
Get help.
Get help.
Yeah, sure.
Good night. Thanks for listening. For more resources, check the show notes. We put a lot of effort into them. And remember, we don't have a crystal ball, so let us know about your project. Visit bitcoin.review to find out how to get in touch.